Hello, our friends, Evolutionary Energy Arts family.
Hello there. Welcome back.
So, guys, we are going to be talking about an interesting subject. And, you know, honestly, again, when we are not working on people energetically, doing spiritual coaching, making videos, working around the house, typical things, usually you'll find Cindy immersed in Vedic astrology. You know, that's what she likes to just dive into. It's one of her passions and her hobbies. You know, we've come to understand, I feel, you know, we have a very clear understanding of the process of life, death, and rebirth to a pretty high degree. And really, you know, I don't think it was a great mystery in so many cultures. I think actually in most times, in most ages, people understood that incarnations were just certain periods of learning. And we come in, we learn, hopefully we grow a lot, discover new things, explore new possibilities. We go back to the other side, so to speak, process, decide what are we going to do next, and then wait for the opportune time and jump back in this whole matrix again. Lots of words we could use there. But one of the things that the soul would really pay attention to, if it really did want to learn about particular aspects of itself, would be when to jump in. That's so huge. You know, when to jump in is just enormous. Because again, truly, yeah, you know, one of the biggest constructs in this matrix that determines things is the astrological.
Mm-hmm. And there is so much to learn when it comes to Vedic astrology. I struggle with dyslexia quite a lot, but I'm still completely fascinated with the planets, and I do my best. And you could say the way I do readings is a little different, because part of it is from what I learn, and the other part of it definitely comes from channeling. It has to come from channeling. So it is really exciting when I can do someone's chart and I actually can bop in and out of things and see the cosmos side of things, to see them in an otherworldly place. And there's a couple different ways to do that. There's the learned way to do it through nakshatras, which is the star rising in the east when you were born. And there's also the intuitive part of it, where with me, when I'm reading somebody's chart, I just pop over there to the cosmic part of things. And I'm like, well, this is who you are. This is where you're from. And this is what's going on. And that's where I'm at with it. And I think sometimes when people are getting a chart read, they are afraid if they hear the word like great enemy or debilitated when we're talking about your planets. And if they hear the word great enemy or debilitated, they're like, oh no, you know, that's terrible. That's not good. But actually, it's something that tells you so much about yourself, because if you can see where your planets are debilitated, you know that you jumped in here at that very deliberate time to work on those aspects of yourself, to work on those aspects of your soul, to strengthen your soul in those areas. And that's what it means. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you at all.
No. Yeah, again, you know, it's fascinating, because with the Vedic astrology too, we could look to destiny charts, and we could get an idea of also our past lives and whether or not we were basically successful or not in achieving what we set out to achieve. You know, this is part of understanding how this bigger matrix works. And when we're looking at exaltations and debilitation of planets, you know, if you didn't understand the bigger picture, you might say, you know, certain things like, well, you know, why do I have, you know, Jupiter debilitated? Why is my Mars exalted in this place that's going to maybe cause issues? Maybe I'm going to be a hothead. And, you know, again, why would I choose, now this is that know thyself, why would I choose to have complications and challenges with the timing of when you decided to jump into this matrix? Well, again, it all depends on what you wanted to learn. Just for instance, like I could share a tiny bit about myself, you know, where my Ketu is shows that money will never be the main thing in my life. In fact, there will almost be a negligence when it comes to money with me. Now, that's something that my higher self decided for this life. And that's for this life. Doesn't mean it was the last life. Doesn't mean it won't be the next life. And again, hopefully we'll have a whole new system by the time the next life comes around. But you never know how quickly you're going to jump back in again as well. As both my grandfathers, they both died in 1959, both of them. And they still haven't come back in. And yet there's some, you know, that will come right back in. Each soul is unique, and each one of us has different things we want to learn about ourselves. And that's why you might have challenging aspects to, you know, your chart.
You know, when we look to Ketu in that area, basically that's also saying this is something you have accomplished in a past life. So in reality, if you wanted to, wherever that Ketu sits, these things are not that hard for you to achieve because you've already mastered them. So if you choose and you need to, you can fall back on that, because Ketu is there to kind of push you out of that comfortable nest, and Rahu is there to say, well, this is what we're going to try. And a lot of times we can look at Rahu and say, this is probably what you're going to try and fail at, but you're going to have this obsession in it, and you're not going to be able to set it down until you master it. But it is really interesting when you look at the destiny chart and the birth chart together, and actually the past life chart. You know, you look at these three things and you can see, well, how many things from the past life did you carry on to this life? Like, what things are you still working on? And curiously enough, you know, I see a lot of moon Ketu carry from past life to this life, and this could be emotional struggles. I see a lot of that, which is interesting, you know, but it's also something we choose to work on. And it has also something to do with the mother energy and karmic responsibility with your mother. So there's just so many things that you can really pull out of this, these charts, that is helpful to help you find your footing. Now, it's not going to tell you everything, because it's not supposed to tell you everything. There's so many parts about ourselves that we came here to learn. And that's the soul strengthening part of everything. Because some people step in when their Ketu is in a certain position and they cannot find themselves. But what they're supposed to do in this life is find themselves. So they're going to come in blinded as far as who they are. But that doesn't last your entire life. It does let up.
Well, yeah, and there's so many tangents we could go off on. Yeah. So, you know, do check out our Vedic astrology playlist to delve deeper. And we do intend on going deeper in it. So, yeah, because it is one of our passions. And we both talk about it all the time. We're always talking about astrological implications. Because, again, this can give you so many clues, deep insights. Gosh, boy, the question just came into my head. That, you know, I'll ask you, is it cheating to understand astrology in a way? Seriously, this is the programming. This is one of the main programs of this matrix. So in understanding it, are we cheating?
No, I don't think so. I think there's some of us that just really need to understand, and you can actually see in someone's chart when they are obsessed with astrology, and that's with their moon placement, because you want to know how things work. You just need to know how things work, and this is going to fulfill that part of you. And then there's some people, they don't need to know. They're like, okay, well, this is fine, and this is, you know, what goes on with me, and I'm okay with that. But a lot of people, I think, especially in this day and age, are struggling a lot with the whys of life. It's like, why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? You know, when is this going to end? And, you know, that can get us into another tangent about dashas. It's like, what planetary dasha are you in right now? And that's another video, but it's something that, you know, I can see right here at a glance with the chart. It's like, what planet are you working on in this time span of your life? What should you focus on? And I see a lot of people who are without a focus, and they're like, I don't know where I am. You know, this is a very foreign world to me. I'm just, you know, I'm here. I don't feel like I fit in. What can I do? And, you know, soul alignment can go along with astrology. So I wouldn't say I use it really like any traditional. I don't call myself an astrologist. Not at all. Not at all. No, I'm someone who looks at this, and we look at your soul, and we see where things are and what you can do to help yourself feel more fulfilled, more grounded, what planets you need to work on, and things of that nature.
Well, again, she's very self-effacing. She doesn't tout her own abilities, but, you know, her abilities are amazing. This, you know, is somebody that can almost every single time connect to family members that have passed on, connect to people's guides. You know, just as a matter of course, we always check out people's chakras, their energy bodies. And Cindy's vision is much clearer than mine when it comes to reading these things. She's just a gift. So her aspects, yes, she does understand Vedic astrology to a degree, but truly, Vedic astrology is so, it's so massive. It takes lifetimes to truly gain understanding. Which, again, that could be part of what you're tapping into is past lifetimes, because her and I both are on the same sort of missions continually by choice, coming back to help people on Earth for many incarnations now understand the bigger picture of how the universe truly works. So, you know, what you're getting is you're getting somebody that has a fair understanding of, but still learning as far as the Vedic astrology, but you are getting somebody with immense psychic gifts that can communicate clearly with beings on the other side. And we've truly been able to, she's been able to connect with almost everybody that I've asked, you know, because somebody will come up in my mind and I'll be like, I gotta ask Aleister Crowley about this. And she's able to connect. Nostradamus, we're able to get them. You know, it's fascinating, but it is the reality that outside of this dark age, and, you know, also a little bit of the Bronze Age on both sides, that still, you know, things are still under that control system. When we get past that, if you have a question for somebody that died 300 years ago, you could go ask them yourself, because you'll be able to see it. You're going to be able to read it. You're going to be able to access the Akashic records. And there again, that's the death knell for the whole geopolitical system on planet Earth. It's over when people wake up to that degree. It's over. You know, you're not going to be buying any of the snake oil from those snake oil salespeople anymore, because you're going to know. It's just that simple. It's not a big mystery. Most of the time, these things are not a mystery. Yet, when we're in this age, and yeah, we still have some centuries to go before, you know, we really are stepping into our big boy pants, our big girl pants, so to speak, and we're really flying. You know, where again, we might not even need to reference these things so much. Right now, they're extremely helpful to understand why you came in here in the first place this time. Because again, we've done this many times. Most of us have done this many, many, many times. And many of us have done this on other planets many times. That's the amazing part. So when you start realizing this, all the fear goes out. All the fear goes out. And then it's more like, okay, let's get down to business. Why the heck am I here?
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, it's like, why am I here? That's definitely a huge question. And it's an important one to ask. And you know, honestly, a lot of people do need to understand themselves, especially in this day and age where we're just constantly bombarded with chaos. We are constantly bombarded with, you know, who we are. We're constantly bombarded with all of these different issues, and each planet has its own little karmic values in somebody's chart. So, I mean, the sun is a huge one. That is your soul. I mean, the moon is really important too, because the moon is a reflection of the sun, which are your emotions. And in Vedic astrology, emotions are key. They like to take emotions to help people understand themselves. But my point I wanted to get across today is, if you have a debilitated planet, don't fear. No, that you want to push into that. You want to accept that, because that's what you came here to do. You came here to work on that aspect of yourself.
Absolutely. And each planetary body is a unique being. And just like some humans, no matter how hard they try, they won't be able to get along so well. And then yet there's other people that you're going to just immediately love, and they could do no wrong, because I don't know, there's just something about your energies that are in a symbiosis. You know, they just kind of get along. As you see, exalted and debilitated houses for each planet given below. The sun, exaltation house, Aries, debilitation house, Libra. Moon, exaltation in Taurus, debilitation in Scorpio. Mars, exaltation in Capricorn, debilitation in Cancer. And then we have Mercury, it's exalted in Virgo, debilitated in Pisces. Jupiter, exalted in Cancer, debilitated in Capricorn. Venus, exalted in Pisces, debilitated in Virgo. Saturn, exalted in Libra, and debilitated in Aries. So, you know, let's say somebody that came in and their Mars is sitting in Cancer. And what if Rahu was there too? I mean, what does that look like?
Ouch. Ouch. You know, I mean, if Mars was with Rahu, that's kind of a really good thing, because that's going to give you a lot of drive. It's going to give you a lot of determination. But then when we have Cancer or Mars, you know, sitting with Cancer, that's going to make Mars like, you know, those are ooshy gooshy emotional feelings. I don't really like that part about me. But guess what? That's what you get to come here to do. You get to learn about your emotions and your feelings, because that's the part you don't like the most. And I know I've said it a few different times, that darkness is our greatest teacher. So anything that really hurts, and hey, I have an adversity to this too. Like when something hurts my soul, I'm like, I do not want to look at that. Don't make me look at that. It hurts. But that's what we came here to look at. And ultimately, what I keep seeing in my own life is, time and time again, when I look at that thing, it's not what I thought it was ever. It's not a big scary monster, and it's okay, and it's not going to hurt me. But don't think that didn't come with a lot of trauma beforehand, though. You know, but I have to thank all that trauma, because it's gotten me to where I'm at now. I understand so much more because of those other traumatic events. So it's like I'm going my second round. You know, it's like the first round was really difficult in life, and now I'm going around again, learning all these lessons planet by planet by planet. And then looking at these big monsters saying, that wasn't so bad. It's not what I thought it was going to be at all.
You know, sometimes, like when we were talking about a particular person that had the sun debilitated, why would you set yourself up in this life to have your sun debilitated?
You want to strengthen your soul. There's an aspect of you. You're probably very much an ancient being, because it takes some serious, I don't want to use the wrong word, but strength to want to come and strengthen your soul in this lifetime, because it's like you're taking everything and you're laying it on the line and you're saying, fillet me open, I'm ready to learn more. That's why. So it's most likely that you are an ancient being. You've been around the block a few times, and now you're ready for the big one.
Interesting. So 11th house again is about gains. So hopes, dreams, wishes. And then when we see the 10th house, you got profession and reputation. So, you know, what if you had in that 10th house Mercury, say, with Ketu?
That's like extreme intelligence, really, you know, and it's going to be a spiritual intelligence, because Ketu is not just separation of material and spiritual. You know, when you get down to it, Ketu is the spiritual part of things. So it takes on a lot of Mercury's identity and the intelligence sense of things, and that's going to be your reputation. So for a job, you would be someone who could be teaching things of a spiritual nature.
You know, I got, as we're doing this, there's like all these other video topics that would be best served doing them separately, because there's so many tangents you could go into. Yeah, we have a lot of catching up to do, because we really did intend to do a lot more with the Vedic astrology, as it is such a large part of our life. But say again, like, you were in the third house there, and let's just, you know, put, you know, witches again, they're showing here courage and siblings. But again, each one of these houses has a lot more to it than what's listed here. This is a over generalization.
Well, yeah, I mean, third house, I chalk it up to communication, just communication, and with your smaller network circles, which would be family members and siblings. So that's, and you know, short distance travel.
What if Saturn was in there?
Saturn is a very difficult planet to have anywhere in your chart. So, but again, you know, it's the darkness is our biggest teacher. Saturn has so much to offer you. And I think in Western astrology, it's feared, but in Vedic astrology, it's embraced. So you look at where Saturn sits, and you really want to pay a lot of attention in that area, because Saturn comes around when you have your first Saturn return, second Saturn return, and Saturn praises you for the attention that you have been given these karmic situations, because Saturn sitting where it's at, and also Saturn fourth from itself and six from itself, these are your really true karmic agendas in this life. So probably you're probably going to have some distance and coldness with siblings and small network circles. Now also with Saturn, when it comes to the third house, communication, at first you're going to be like a meek little mouse at home as a child. You may have been made fun of, you might have had a speech impediment, your parents may not have let you speak your mind. So before you really said anything, you really thought hard about the things that you were going to say. And as an adult, now you're able to be a speaker because you've worked so hard at that. So you see how Saturn rewards when you push into these karmas.
And this again gives you an idea as to why you've come here in the first place, because again, it's something to work on. If we want to look at it from a karmic point of view, there's so many generalizations we could take. You know, again, somebody that has, say, Ketu in the 11th house, it could be that, you know, the last life you were one of those rich and famous, and everything was so easy, and now you might want to set yourself up so, no, you don't want to be caught up in any of those distractions. And then look to the other houses, look to the other planetary positions to get more input on the details. Because, again, the soul jumps through at the most opportune time to gain the knowledge by the placement of the planets where they are. You know, again, it's the study of light is what we're talking about.
It is. It's the science of light and how that light hits the human body and, you know, has a reflection in how your body responds to that. So it was a really huge science in the golden age, and it's like everybody knew it. You know, everybody knew it just like we could breathe. And the unfortunate part is all of the information has been hidden, or it's just not there. So it's about, I think, a lot of real astrologers right now getting together, bringing pieces of information, because every chart is unique. I'm sure there's something new to learn with every chart that you do. Could you imagine like all the different, it's like a kaleidoscope of information when you look out there. Every time someone is born, you have a new pattern to look at to see what goes on there. And then it's like a big, huge, game of filling in the blanks and putting the puzzle pieces together.
Yeah, and if we had, say, Mars and Ketu in the seventh house.
This is someone who might have some challenges in relationships. And, you know, this is someone I would probably want to talk to them about, because relationships really, really could be a huge challenge. Now, it might also mean that you came here not to focus on relationships, but maybe you came here to fight for other relationships. So that can go a couple of different ways.
Yeah, again, all these things give us clues, because we've seen many times people will say, you know, I just can't find the right partner. And then there's this sitting there, and it's a big indication that, you know what, probably in the last life you had like the most amazing partnership, but maybe it kept you from growing and rooting yourself and being more of that totally independent individual. And so, you know, in this life you wanted to set yourself up so that that wasn't going to steal your focus. You wanted to set yourself up so it's going to be you learning about you, all about introspection and adventure and, you know, understanding who you are. So again, all these things can show when you look at exalted planets and debilitated planets, they're big clues, huge clues as to why you came here this time.
Mm-hmm. Right. They are. And, you know, it's something that's very useful, and also, you know, digging into the deeper soul and cosmic aspect of it all is very fascinating.
And so is this. Look at that peace. Look at that bliss. They just like three peas in a pod.
They know each other. They love each other. And so many times, you know, this brings me to another thing when I do family charts too. I can see how everything fits together. And if like someone does not have a time of birth, but if we can get an exact time of birth for somebody else, we can talk a little more about that chart, because in Vedic astrology it has to do with time of birth. I actually did Rama's chart because I got his time of birth. It was really exciting because it was very fitting for who Rama is. So, you know, pets charts, sure, why not? You know, if you have the time of birth, let's do it. But yeah, I mean, it's so fun how all of this fits together, and the likes and dislikes other people have depending on where the planets sit.
So for more information again about us, go to evolutionaryenergyarts.com and you could check out more about what we do. As always, guys, much love and gratitude for being part of this family. God bless and namaste.
Namaste.